Hi everyone, this is Siobhan Murphy, Careers Advisor here in the Career Service in DCU. So welcome to this episode of the Careers Podcast. So today is one of these, what we call a just-in-time short episode, where we just bootstrap you with a skill. And today we're going to talk you through your CV and that golden 6 seconds that you have to engage the reader. Okay, so if you want to get a pen and paper, great, go grab one. And for DCU students, we have tons of resources in around CVs on our Career Service module on Loop. But for everyone else, just get a pen and paper and we'll kick off on it. So as I said in the outset, 6 seconds to engage the reader. So that's kind of frightening. You've probably put a lot of work creating your CV and someone's just going to zoom up and down that page. And unless they see what they want, you know, you're gone out of the equation. So we're just trying to guide you on how to develop your CV, but develop it in a way that is useful for the recruiters to read and ultimately speed read. Before we kick off, it's always important to remember that when you're in the whole, you know, finding a job and trying to get forward to the next stages of selection, is there's three fundamental things that employer wants to know about you, and they don't really change that dramatically. So one of them is they want to know, can you do the job? Secondly, they want to know, will you do the job? And thirdly, why do you want to work for them? So the CV is a great way to tell the employer about why you can do the job. And there's little indicative points you can put in also around that will do the job and why them. Now, particularly that will do the job and why them is really addressed through the cover letter, which we will do another episode about. So your CV is your life in 2 pages, and it's very hard to contemplate at times and makes you feel a wee bit uncomfortable. But we want you to sit and buckle up with that discomfort and move to action and get that first decent draft done and get someone to proofread it. And for those DCU students, come along to the Quick Query Clinic. You know we love doing it. We love getting out that pen and paper with you and helping you lift up your CV. So the first thing you have to remember about a CV, it's a date-heavy document. So do you know your dates? Do you know your dates you did your leave insert, dates you did particular courses and so on? So kind of get your facts together before you begin. And the other thing is there should be no unexplained gaps in your CV. But if you're concerned about how to write about that gap, just ask a careers advisor. We're happy to discuss it with you. If you've done a year in a different college before you came to us, absolutely just put it down and put a note underneath it. Decide to pursue a different program or whatever program you're now pursuing in DCU. That's okay. You made a decision. You made a different decision and that's it. That's life. They're no different. The recruiters are all in the same boat as you at one time. So the other thing I said about dates is a CV is a reverse chronological document with the most recent activity being first on the CV. So I'll remind you of that as we go along. Okay, so the first most important thing to do when you're developing your CV is to actually really unpack what the job description actually is. So people tend to zoom through it and then go off, get very busy trying to do their CV. But really, this is a document that you're producing in response to an advertisement that details what they want. So, you know, you really need to communicate that back. So really mind map out what that job description means. Consider what talents and abilities you have in relation to that job description. So easy, go straight to the CV, folks. Stall the ball. Go back to the job description first. Okay, now a CV is all about you, but it must be in the context of what is useful for an employer to know about you. Okay, so this is where people get a bit antsy. They get to 3 or 4 pages and they say, no, get that down to 2 pages now. That some of that is just not, it's just interesting information about you, but not useful for them to know. Okay, so the job of the recruiter is to find the candidate based on the job description. So make it easy for them to find that information out. If you had to wade through 100 CVs, my God, you would definitely, or 100 would be mild, a few hundred, and then you'd soon find out how important it is to be able to speed read and pick out the information. In general, there's a number of key areas that you need to address in your CV. First one is personal details, then your profile, education, IT/technical skills or language skills, work history, voluntary work, achievements, interests and hobbies, and referees. So they're the core components. You may not use all of them, but they're the core ones for you. Okay, so here we go on this. So first of all, it's 2 pages in length. Now, it can go to 3 pages when you climb to a very senior position in your career. But for most people in their life, 2 pages should be more than sufficient to communicate what needs to be known. 1 page is very useful for any of you searching for part-time or seasonal work, or if you're just in your very early stages in college and you don't have a huge amount of evidence built up. Okay, next thing is use easy to read fonts. Okay, nothing fancy, nothing squiggly. Use the standard Times New Roman, Arial. Fonts like that are usually just so much easier to read. Now, font sizes. Now, if your name up on the top, recommend maybe something from 18 to 22, depending on the length of your name. And headings 14 and main text 11/12. So definitely no lower than font size 11. Like, don't be making the recruiters squint. You know, like, we do not need magnifying glasses when they're trying to read a CV. One of the things that's very important to remember, we do not use the phrase curriculum vitae across the top of your CV anymore. It's implied by the document itself that it's a CV. So instead of writing curriculum vitae across the top, put your brand name, your name, your first name and your last name. You'll never get a better brand than your own name. Put it straight across the top. So the next thing is, for your personal details, it can be very handy to use insert header on page 1 of the CV and place your personal details there. Don't know how to do that? Google it. YouTube it. Okay, and you can figure out how to do that. But remember, you only want the header on page 1. So put in your name. You can put in your postal address, but again, that's optional. You don't have to put it in. Email address is required if you're not putting in a postal address. I think most people are very aware that email address is the new form of communicating. So it does need to be professional sounding. So nothing gimmicky like crazylorna@hotmail.com or anything like that. So use your DCU student email address. Remember, you have that for life, or some Gmail, Hotmail account, whatever you want to use otherwise, but make sure it's professional sounding. Your mobile number, and if you're providing a mobile number in job search, ensure that your voicemail is activated, number one, and secondly, that you have a professional greeting. A recruiter is not going to chance leaving a message on your phone if they're not absolutely sure that it is your phone. Put in your LinkedIn URL if you have an account, and make sure that it's a customized URL, not the gobbledygook at the end. If you don't know how to do a customized LinkedIn, YouTube it. Okay, other things that you can do that you can include in your personal details, you can pop in if you have a full driving license. We'd always encourage everyone by the time they leave college to have a full driving license or near enough it. For international students, it can be very useful to put in your visa status, because it indicates your ability and your right to work for whatever number of hours and so on. It can be very, very useful. Okay, so we're going to move it along to the profile. Okay, this is where everyone gets a bit icky about it. They don't like doing them. We see Googled versions of these. So please don't do that. We want you to really work at this. This is a bit of mind mapping. Get a few post-its out. Really having a good dig at that job description. That's why it's so important to spend a bit of time at it. What you can do in reality is prepare this when you've the rest of the CV done, but it does come after your personal details. So as a guide to constructing it, you can begin with your current situation, i.e. like, say, final year communications students. Then describe the talents and abilities relevant to the job that you're going to. Again, that mighty job description, I keep going on about it. And finally, personal characteristics relevant to the role. Now, remember, you are meant to be hardworking, punctual and honest. So these are a given, so you don't include these in your profile. You're meant to be all of those things. Okay, this is the only part of the CV that you can use the word I, but only use it sparingly in your profile. For the entire rest of the CV document, do not use the word I. You write everything in the third party. Next section, education. Now, if you're at your early career, this section comes before work history. Once you have your first graduate position completed and moving on, you put work history before education. All right, so that's really, really important. Your education must come first. That is probably the biggest single reason why you will get hired after you complete your degree as an undergraduate. Okay, so where do we see now? Okay, next thing, we're on about dates now again. So when you're identifying dates on your CV for whatever reason, whether your education, your work history, make a decision that the dates will go on the extreme left or the extreme right, but not randomly throughout the document. So remember the speed readers, we want uniformity. A speed reader wants to find the same, similar information in the same parts of the CV all the time. Make it easy for them, don't be annoying them. Okay, so it's maybe, by this example, I'm going to use it like if the date is on the extreme left, you put on the years of your degree. So if you're ready to graduate this year, so 2016 to 2020, the precise name of your degree. If you don't know the precise name of your degree, please look it up. It's very, very important. And put down, obviously, your institution's name. And for here in DCU, you can put down DCU or put down Dublin City University. Relevant core modules. Remember, a business degree 20 years ago is not the same as a business degree now. Much more very work applied modules are on these programs. So make sure that you inform the employer how up to date you are on current thinking. Intra for DCU is our professional internship. That's part of many of the degrees here. Include how long, whether 6 months, 8 months, a year, so on and so forth. You don't have to detail what the employer is, but just indicate that you had a professional placement as part of your degree. If you've done an Erasmus or a study abroad, please put down the year, the college, any relevant modules that you did over there. And remember, experiential learning alongside academic learning is highly valued by all employers and should be highly valued by you, because it's really contributing to your ability to succeed in your career. The next thing is, if you've done any QQI program before you started here in DCU, put in the name, the years again, or the year, the name of the course and the name of the institution and your results there. The next one down, because remember we're doing this in reverse chronological order, is your second level education. So most of you that are home students, it's 5 or 6 years in school. The course is the Leaving Cert. And for others, it could be A-levels, the BAch, high school diploma, and then you put in the name of the school and the town or the city, and if it's outside Ireland, include the country. For those that who completed the Leaving Cert, you put in your CEO points, you put in your A-level results where relevant, and if you want to include all or some of your most relevant subjects, that can also be useful. But you know, if in doubt how to manage that, get it down as a first draft and careers advisors will have a look at it for you. There's absolutely no need to include Junior Cert and absolutely no national school details at this point. The next heading would be very skills-based, so it's your IT skills, technical skills, lab skills, language skills. So think about the discipline you're in and use the appropriate skills to it. At the very least, no matter what course you're doing in university, everyone should have good competencies in Word, Excel, PowerPoint, but do indicate skill level around Excel in particularly, because that can have a relevance to a particular role. IT students, you know, absolutely, you need to get all your IT languages out there. The science student, the lab skills, marketing, communication, we need to get those digital skills out there. Don't hide your talents here. Languages, which ones, and the competency level according to the correct framework. So the European competency framework, or for Asian language, the correct terminology to describe that. So now we're moving swiftly on to work history. Now, this can be a little bit messy. So the best thing to do is that if you have, say, a lot of part-time college experience, you know, working in what I call the spars and bars, you might want to put them into a section called other work history. But if you have, say, an intra placement or professional placements that are very relevant to your next step, put that under relevant work history. So the first thing is, work history always refers to paid work. For those who are on professional courses such as nursing and teachings, you need to put down the heading professional placements. because for the most part, except the final one on the nursing degree, they're unpaid. Okay, so just be very mindful of that. But do separate that final paid one for nursing as well. It's very, very important, you know, or final internship paid in brackets behind it. Something to make it very, very clear that you have a contract of employment or had one. So again, you have to make a decision from the very start of the document. So I'm continuing on that my dates are going to go on the left. So then your most recent being first, the role and the organisation. Again, now this next bit takes a wee bit of work. Now, bullet point sentences that outlines the key components of the role and includes any relevant soft skills needed to carry out the job. So if you're trying to indicate that you had to work against deadlines or there was a time management aspect to the role, you could say, but make sure it's evidence-based approach you use here. So it could be something like prepared time-sensitive data reports weekly for clients. So now I know you can work around data. There was a time sensitivity and it had to be done weekly. So there was you're up against deadlines all of the time. So it is really describing the task, but also indicating your use of your soft skills rather than saying prepared reports, it required time management. That doesn't really communicate the essence of what the challenge was. Now, all of your work history should be very action orientated and using action words. And remember, you are using third party language here. So you liaised, you coordinated, you inputted, you arranged. You know, think of more action words. Now, the next section, voluntary work. Now, this is for those who actively are doing voluntary work. It's not meant to judge anyone that does not do that. What we're saying is if you do it, please include it on your CV. Again, it's your most recent being first, the type of role of as a volunteer and the organisation. To understand what volunteerism is, at college stage of life, we would say anything that's 3 months or longer. One-off activities is not voluntary work, okay? Achievement section, again, it's only for those that it's relevant to. But think about what are potential achievements and maybe you'll be quite surprised, maybe you do actually have some. So typical things that we would see at college stage of life, undergrad stage, would be class rep, chair of a club or a society, achievements in sport, music achievements, participation in hackathons, competition, awards. So be very surprised when you look over your 3 or 4 years you're in college here, what you've actually done. And if you're only in first year now and you're listening to this episode, maybe think of the type of evidence that you might want to start building up. Now, evidence because you actually want to do this, not a tick box exercise. So I want you to kind of think about, well, what can I do when during my college years that I'll find enjoyable, useful, and obviously CV building at the same time. Next section, interests and hobbies. Now, this can cause all sorts of consternation. I've often had students say to me, what could I put down that would sound really good? And I kind of go, no, don't even go down that line. Okay. Interests and hobbies, the most important thing is don't make them up. Being you is more than enough. There is absolutely no need any part of your CV to create an alter ego. Remember, if you do get called to interview, it's you they're going to meet and you that they want to meet. So make sure it's you on that CV all the way down to including your interests and hobbies. So as a general rule of thumb, if you're unsure of the suitability of your pastime, I always say, as long as it's not illegal, immoral or unethical, it's OK to do what you do. OK, so but focus on telling the reader a little bit more. So if you enjoy running, include that you enjoy running and you're a member of an athletic club or a running group. If you love the cinema, talk about what genre of films that you actually like. If you enjoy reading books, what type of genre of books? If you like sports biographies, be very ready to talk about that at interview because, you know, all of us are human. And at interview, if someone put down something interesting as a hobby, you're going to say you might even ask them a question about it. And usually I'm always interested in people's hobbies, because their eyes usually light up, they're well able to communicate, you know, their passion in this area. And when you are looking to hire somebody that will need to deal with a lot with other colleagues or a lot with clients, you want to kind of say, how do they relate to people? How would they potentially get on? How would they have those kind of, you know, between work moments and have a chat and communicate very effectively for people? Also remember, interests and hobbies do demonstrate how you are looking after your well-being. Remember, you need to be able to be fit and able to come and continue to go to work. So you do need to be actively looking after your health and well-being. And it's very important for employers to see that on your CV. So the next section, referees. So what we'd recommend here strongly is, unless you're actually specifically asked to supply them as part of your application, just put the heading down, referees available on request. With GDPR regulations, it's better to supply them when only when they request them. But it's important to have the referees and have their details of their role, company name, the phone number and email address. If it is required, put it all down. You need to put it down correctly. But obviously, if you do progress through the application and they do want that information, you do need to have it ready for them. So to sum up, there's so many things I could have said about a CV, but I hope you've got, I suppose, the nuts and bolts there for the moment to get you a decent draft done and come along to a quick query clinic or ask somebody else to proofread it for you. But the most important things you have to remember, a CV does need to be authentic and it must never, ever be fraudulent. HR will verify your qualifications either and what you've said around your work history before and or during your probation period, and that can lead to dismissal or not proceeding with your appointment if it's fraudulent. So remember what you're actually saying to your employer. You know, we have said you don't need to say you're honest because you should be. So remember that, okay? Spell check your CV and give it to a couple of different people to check it for you. Be surprised how your eyes can just see the same mistake and not recognise it as one. Obviously, bring it to the quick query clinic if you're a DCU student. Always remember to focus on what you have to tell on your CV rather than what you don't have. If you look at a job description, they're looking for a wide net of talent. So they're calling out on that job description. There's a number of people that could potentially do that job based on the skills and abilities that they're bringing to the table. You bring what you have to the table. That's all you're responsible for. It's up to the recruiter to analyse that and see do you have potential to be brought forward to the next stage of selection. Okay, so I'm going to leave you on this quote. For DCU students, you're probably very, very familiar with the Henry Grattan building, and all along our corridor we have loads of inspirational quotes, and I find them very useful. Sometimes I have a little bit of a focus on them for the day and kind of use it to meditate for the day and, I suppose, inspire myself. But for the purposes of a CV, when you're going into that whole job search and journey, you know, you need to kind of bolster up your resilience. You don't have to think everyone is amazing and you're not, everything like that. That's just, you know, that's just your mind playing tricks on you. I want you to remember this. William Frederick Halsey apparently once said, "There are no great people in this world, only great challenges which ordinary people rise to meet." So I hope you found that podcast episode useful and looking forward to getting to tune in again. Thank you.